Yeah, it's time for Disney News, everybody. Jason and Jeremy here bringing you the best Disney news that you could ever hope for. The third story will literally make your ears grow super long and wrap around your head and it will be like your mask forever. I don't know. What do you think?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you come in pretty hot now with the announcement, I notice.
Really?
Like, there's hardly any music, and you're like, okay. Like, I didn't even get to hear the pan flute, barely.
Well, I mean, it's a 20-second clip, so I got to, like, fine. You know, I feel like, yeah. I got to go for it, man. I got to go for it. Speaking of going for it, have you been watching the Lollapalooza broadcast on Hulu?
No, I don't even know what – I don't know what – it's like I've never heard any of those words.
Lollapalooza. It's like that big 4-day festival, music festival.
And you watch that?
Well, it's the first time it's been on Hulu. And I was like, yeah, I'll check it out today. It's on Hulu for free.
Is it live?
It's live. Yeah, it's like live. After there's a guy coming on Playboy Cardi I want to watch. It's like right after this, or like starting a little bit soon. But yeah, it's been cool, actually. It's been fun to like be exposed to music I've never heard of. And I don't know.
What sort of artists are there? Is it Yanni, John Tesh? Like, who would I know that would be showing up?
You know? Yes, it's actually Yanni and John Tesh together.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what they would do special for this.
Yeah, it's called Yannish.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of groups. There's like DJs, and there's like indie rock, and there's like blues, and then there's rap, like Playboi Carti's rap guy. Jimmy Eat World is playing right now. That's a band you've probably heard of.
You know who would know this? My friend Libby. She would know all of these things.
And oh, really?
She'd think, oh, yeah, I've seen him. Yeah, I was out in Williamsburg, saw him. That's what she would say. She knows all about it.
Well, she's very cultured, it sounds like, and you should learn a thing or two.
She's very musical, that one.
Well, maybe she's watching Lollapalooza.
She very well could be.
You never know. Jeremy, I do have a couple updates before we start the show.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Get me up to speed.
All right.
Get me up to speed on this.
I love this that we're doing this 2 weeks in a row due to scheduling conflict.
Yeah, it was unfortunate you had to cancel.
Yeah, that's me. And then, so we can now report on a couple of hot breaking stories. So in our last show, I talked about the new pay to play system at Disneyland Paris, or newly expanded system, I guess. There was still a little bit of debate on the show about the timing of all this and if this was already in place or if it's expanded or if it's new or whatever. Well, an official date has been set for the start of the Disney Premier Access Pass in Disneyland Paris, August 5th. So if you're planning on going to Disneyland Paris August 5th or after, and you want to skip ahead of lines, be ready to pay $10 to $15 if you want to do that per ride.
Okay. So that's coming up soon. It's a week from tomorrow, right?
It's a week from tomorrow. Yeah, I think so. And then also in the last show, we learned that a lot of people are unhappy with Disney's decision to release Black Widow to theaters as well as streaming at the same time, especially Bob Iger. Apparently he was throwing a little bit of shade internally at Bob Paycheck. So now you can add Scarlett Johansson to that list. The actress and star of Black Widow is actively suing Disney. She filed, I think, her suit today, claiming her contract stipulated a, quote, wide theatrical release of the film, with the understanding that the movie would stay exclusively in theaters for 90 to 120 days, as is standard for a movie of this size and caliber. And since part of her salary is tied to box office returns, ScarJo is set to lose about $50 million off of this deal. Now, I'm not sure exactly how they figured that number out, but that's the number that her team gives. So, yeah, that's it, 50 mil. Now, apparently, ScarJo reached out to Disney to negotiate her contract back in 2019 when word started spreading that this dual release strategy could become a reality. But according to her, Disney never even got back to her. They left her on read, just never even responded. Interesting stuff going on in Hollywood as streaming grows and traditional theaters shrink. A lot of these big stars, you know, they get points on the back end, so their salary is tied to how well the movie does.
Sure.
But if the movie doesn't do well in theaters because it's not released wide enough, then they lose money. Meanwhile, Disney's charging people $30 to see it. They get it off. They get gross, net, whatever it is. They get it all. They don't have to.
Right.
So I think it's a little messed up that, according to her, they never even tried to renegotiate her contract. They just never even talked to her about it.
It seems like, well, that's interesting because when I was reading about this earlier today and I thought, boy, somebody messed up, like somebody in the contracts department, like this is a major, I thought, wow, what a major oversight. But apparently when making movies is your business, this isn't the kind of thing that's an oversight. Like, and then she asked them to renegotiate and they wouldn't.
Right.
So like, this isn't an oversight. This is, they stuck it to ScarJo.
They really did. And then in the lawsuit, I was reading a little bit of it. Her lawyer like lists a lot of her like really banger movies and then transitions into, you know, in 2010, she
number
played...
four will make your eyes bang out.
That's right.
He's giving lists too.
Yeah. Yeah. Number four will shave 2 feet from your spinal cord and shrink you. Yeah. And then it's like, and then 2010, she played Black Widow and then that helped launch the MCU, which is very profitable. So definitely they're like the lawyer's setting up how important she has been to the Marvel franchise as sort of like a determination of, yes, yeah, she deserves this money because it's a franchise movie that she has helped build. This is weird. I don't know. It read like her CV or something. It was just like, I'm going to go to IMDb and see what top movies my clients, fans love of hers and put it in this lawsuit. But yeah, 50 mil trying to get, I think. Actually, I don't know what the number. I think it's just, she's suing for damn. I don't know what she's suing for, to be honest.
It seems high. I was reading another article related to this, and I guess Warner Brothers was ahead of the game, and they started renegotiating
with
people. They were like, okay, well, we're going to change our strategy, so we're going to renegotiate.
Right, and they paid people out. They paid actors like over 200 mil collectively.
Right.
Because of this, because they released the specifically, what was it, the Wonder Woman movie on HBO Go at the same time, and they paid their people. Disney does not like paying people. I have a story later on about another lawsuit. Another lawsuit involving Disney not paying people. So, we love corporations. It really just sort of, you know, squat on people sometimes.
It's just weird because, like, why is it Disney should be the one that's paying? Warner Brothers should be the one that's screwing people over. And Disney should be the company that we trust. But they're always the ones. They're always the rascals. Like, they're always. It's like, what do you, if you don't keep a real tough eye on Disney, they're squirrely.
Because what else are you going to do? I think then that's where they're big enough to go, what are you going to do?
Oh, see you in court because you were in breach of your contract. That's what we're going to do, well, Disney.
I don't think that they expected this for sure.
Probably not.
Yeah. But anyway.
Maybe
before
ScarJo has a weird email and it went to someone's junk.
Spelled ScarJo with a K instead of a C. You know what? It's not weird, though. Moon Boots IPA is the latest 21st Amendment beer release. A West Coast IPA brewed with strawberries and loaded with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops. Moon Boots IPA was designed and brewed by an all-woman team at 21st Amendment Brewery and in partnership with the Pink Boots Society, advocating for the advancement of women in the beverage industry. The label for Moon Boots IPA features the beer's creators envisioned as otherworldly beings and was commissioned by renowned Los Angeles-based animation artist Robin Eisenberg. Moon Boots IPA is a very limited release and available across the country at your favorite good beer shop, where 21st Amendment beer is sold. Hey!
Hollywood doesn't say that it comes in cans.
That's a good question.
I think we need a new one.
I know. I've been bugging him, but he's jaunting everywhere. Sully's been, he was in Colorado, and now he's out brewing a beer with Three Weavers down in L.A. So he's just, you know, he's a busy guy.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, Jer.
Is it my turn?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and fire something off, please?
Well, the big news this week, of course, we couldn't not talk about this, is the return of masks at Disneyland and Walt Disney World resorts. This news out yesterday. Beginning tomorrow, Friday, July 30th, the resorts on both coasts will return mask requirements for all guests ages 2 and up, as well as all cast members while indoors, regardless of your vaccination status. So if you are standing outside, if you're sashaying your pretty little self around World Showcase at Epcot, drinking around the world, no worries. You can keep your mask down. But if you're going to go watch the China movie, you're going to have to put that mask back up once you're inside. This setback in the return to normal takes us back to the Disney Parks policy as it was until late June, when all mask requirements were lifted. At that time, guests were allowed to remove masks in outdoor areas, but anytime inside, masks were required. So we're basically back to late June, late June's policy.
Okay.
The change comes on the back of an announcement by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in which the U.S. which modified its mask guidance, recommending that vaccinated people wear masks indoors in areas of substantial and high transmission of COVID-19. Turns out Orange County, Florida is one of those crisis hotspots.
Yep.
Which is Disney World, part of Disney World is in Orange County, Florida. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings described the county as being in crisis mode with nearly 1,000 new cases daily just in that county.
Which is weird because they don't, because I thought the governor wasn't reporting daily cases anymore. It was just by the week.
Florida reports their case information weekly.
Right.
But of course that data is available to
officials
that are, you know, the mayor.
Yeah.
That nearly matches the peak numbers from late last year. Nationwide, daily COVID cases are once again on the rise. A 7-day rolling average of new cases in the United States is up 445% compared to a month ago, with the U.S. reporting over 80,000 new cases yesterday alone. Deaths due to COVID, a lagging indicator, are up just 12% for the same time period. Which I guess is maybe promising news, but it's lagging, so we don't really know yet. Yeah. Maybe 100% don't know yet. But there is some promising data coming from India and the United Kingdom. Both of those countries are beyond their Delta outbreak peaks, with significant declines in new cases over the last 2 weeks. So that's hopefully a light at the end of the tunnel, because surely those countries aren't more vaccinated than we are. And they're already seeing declines. And the UK isn't really seeing any increased lockdown measures or anything like that. So that's promising.
Yeah, it is. I've also read that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Tell me. I want to know.
I read, I think it was today, that in LA County, 25% of new COVID cases were vaccinated people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over here. And that's weird to me. But hopefully that deaths number doesn't jump up. I know hospitalizations are coming up, but hopefully, you know, the vaccine can prevent a lot of these deaths. And like you said, there's hopefully a light at the end of the tunnel where people are, you know, it just, we are either protected or we get over it or whatever.
Right.
Until
well,
the next
that
one.
Number doesn't actually surprise me that much, because if you think about it, that's of positive cases. So how many people don't have COVID, right? Like that's just a measurement of the positive cases. And when these vaccines came out, Johnson & Johnson said they were only going to be 76% effective. We knew that, right? So like that's 25% right there. And surely, you know, Pfizer was like, we're in the 90s, but it's a new variant. So for that to like, so I don't know, that doesn't seem so crazy to me that you'd have these, that 25%. And also the case rate is still low. So you know, you have how many people who are just not getting it.
Yeah, that is true. I in California, most of the counties in California would be in the purple tier, which was our coded system, you know, back before the open up phase.
Right.
That's how bad things are. It's weird. It's a weird time, man, and I don't know how to navigate it. But you know, masking indoors is definitely going to help.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some cast members took to social media this week upon learning the news, expressing their concerns over the difficulty of having to enforce the mask rules again now that guests are used to not wearing them. One Twitter user who ostensibly is a cast member said, quote, "I cannot fight with guests about these masks. What they say doesn't hurt me or tear me down, but my mental health can't take constant yelling by strangers."
Yeah, that's gotta be rough. Well, Paige in the chat saying that Paige, let me know if you want to cut this out, but they're like, timely as I start my new job at Disney Resort on Sunday. Like,
What did Paige say?
That they're starting a new job at Disneyland Resort on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
This is all timely information.
Well, I, as someone who spends a lot of time in the parks, though I am not a cast member, I don't see cast members constantly being yelled at, though I'm sure it happens.
I feel like
I'm not sure it's a constant barrage. So I think somewhere in the middle of this is where the truth is.
Yeah. But I do think that if you're a cast member and you get yelled at twice a day for a week, that you feel like that's probably constant.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that because when I was a kid, my parents never had to really punish me too bad. If anyone ever just yelled at me, mm-hmm. that was it. I would go cry for days. I can't be yelled at.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You don't seem like, I don't know. You don't seem like a sensitive boy like that. Because I'm the same way. I don't like being yelled at, but also I'll feel bad, but then I'll be like wanting to yell
angry.
Back. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah,
I'll get angry a day later.
Well, I think
you.
As I've gotten older, I my anger switches on much more quickly, so the sadness is short-lived. But when I was little, I hadn't developed that anger yet. Just today, Universal Orlando Resort modified its own mask policy. So this is how hot this news is.
Damn, look at that.
This is like this afternoon.
Hot like
out.
A temperature check. Let's go.
Already reporting it. They modified their own mask policy, requiring all of their team members to wear masks indoors, but stopped short of making the same requirement of guests. Rather, their guests are encouraged to mask up while indoors, which will, of course, allow vaccinated individuals to remain mask-free at Universal Resort. So,
yep. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. L in the chat asks if you still feel safe at Disney World, Jer.
Sure. I'm there all the time. I was there yesterday. I'm going tomorrow, and I'm going Saturday, and I'm going Tuesday. I feel very safe.
You do. Okay.
I will say we watched the Happily Ever After fireworks last week in the Magic Kingdom, and we were like smack dab in the middle of the hub, and it was like shoulder to shoulder.
Ooh.
But like, I'm vaccinated. What did I get vaccinated for if I'm going to be afraid even now?
Well, you got vaccinated against the different variant, so now this is a new John, and it's more. I was reading an article today. You know Dee Snider?
No,
he's the lead singer of Twisted Sister. You know that band?
Oh, Dee Snider, sure, yes, Twisted Sister.
Dee Snider, baby. Whoa, got him.
What? I do. Now that you say it, I do know who that is.
All right, he's claiming that he got COVID. Because his wife took their grandkids to Disney World. And he's like blaming, like literally calling out Disney, going, do not take your kids to Disney because that's how I got COVID. Like we've been home. We're all vaccinated. Everybody's vaccinated. But they went to Disney World and brought COVID home. And like I thought that was a really bold thing to say. I mean, because he's not necessarily an A-list celebrity, but I wouldn't call him like a D-list celebrity either. I mean, I feel like
Snyder list.
I feel like he can get into a lot of trouble with that because you got to prove it.
It depends on what he's saying. If he's saying, I believe that they got it there, then
he's literally saying, do not take your kids because it's not safe.
I don't know. I don't know how the law. I'm not sure about how those laws work with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can tell you, I know two people in real life who are fully vaxxed and now have COVID.
Yeah, it's a thing, man. It happens.
So
in real life,
that's mild. In real life, not in this weird Disney world. So that's what's happening
all
at
right.
Disney World. Masks are back. We'll see how long that lasts.
Okay. Well, you know, Jeremy, I was talking earlier about lawsuits with Scar Joe, and we have more lawsuit news, as I was alluding to. The city of Anaheim is at the center of another lawsuit against Disney, this time involving something very, very exciting, tax subsidies and hourly wages. The class action suit was brought against Disney for allegedly failing to follow Anaheim's minimum wage law that city voters approved of back in 2018. The city law, known as Measure L, mandates that all businesses receiving a city subsidy must pay their workers a minimum wage of $17 an hour, which increases $1 per year. And I don't know if it caps. I would imagine that it caps at a certain year because, in 10 years, are you going to get an extra $10 for minimum wage work? I doubt it.
Well, I think the article said, I read this article. Doesn't it say that it's until it reaches 22?
I did not see that in this article, so there you go. The lawsuit alleges Disneyland is receiving a subsidy through the $510 million resort bonds issued in 1997, which helped build a parking garage and infrastructure improvements needed for California Adventure. But before Anaheim voters even went to the ballot box in November 2018, city attorney Rob Fabella said Disneyland would be exempt from the law in a report he issued, which is, of course, very, very convenient. Quote, in summary, although there are many moving parts to the bond transaction, it does not appear to incorporate a direct city subsidy. That is, an agreement in which Disney is entitled to a, quote, rebate of transient occupancy, sales tax, entertainment tax, property tax, or other taxes presently or in the future, matured or unmatured, end quote. Therefore, it is the city attorney's opinion that Measure L would not apply to Disney by virtue of the bond transaction. That's his report. So I feel like it's a ticky-tacky, like, well, technically, but not. So let's just exempt Disney and I'll keep getting invited to Club 33. That's the cornerstone of Disneyland's defense against the city's minimum wage law. Earlier this month, OC Superior Court Judge William D. Claster allowed the class action lawsuit against Disney to proceed. Quote, the judge agreed that it was an appropriate case for class certification, which sounds really dull, but is actually a big moment. It doesn't happen often, said attorney Randy Rennick, who represents the resort employees. Quote, so the judge had blessed our legal theory and approved it to go forward as a class action on behalf of 25,000 people. Rennick said. The minimum wage law defines the term subsidy as, quote, any agreement with the city pursuant to which a person other than the city has a right to receive a rebate of transient occupancy tax, sales tax, entertainment tax, blah, 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 blah. The $510 million 1997 resort bonds helped build the $108 million Mickey and Friends parking garage, which Disney operates and keeps all revenue from. We've talked about that on a couple of shows. The bonds also paid for the $170 million Anaheim Convention Center expansion. All of Disney's incremental hotels, sales, and property taxes that would otherwise go to Anaheim are used to pay down the bonds. I'm not super clear on how bonds work, but that sounds they're getting a benefit from these incentives for sure. And 20% of all citywide hotel taxes go to pay down these bonds that go to Disneyland. Once the bonds are paid off by 2037 or sooner, Anaheim will give the parking garage to Disney. It currently pays the city a $1 a year to rent the garage. So it sounds to me like Disney is profiting off of tax subsidies and should be paying their employees $17 an hour, like the law says.
Yeah, I if that's the law, it sounds like the law is extremely convoluted.
Yeah, I mean, I think most laws involving tax laws are.
Salad.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, I think most tax law is convoluted by just by definition, and I think I haven't ever passed a law or drafted a law, but I've read enough about it to know that there's a give and take on either side. So I'm sure that's why it's so complicated, because in order for people to do stuff like this, well, right. Disney doesn't have to pay because of this thing. It's like I was listening to some podcast and these people were talking about how the law has evolved over the years from like the early 1900s on. And it's like you get into these weird definitions of, well, if a crime is committed on a sidewalk, this happens. But what is a sidewalk? Is a sidewalk paved or is it unpaved? What about a gravel bit of the road next to the road? Is that a sidewalk? Are they what, you know what I mean? It's like those kind of, it sounds like that's what exactly this is. It's just a way for rich corporations to sort of have influence over how their laws are passed. And then, which I understand, but also people are making billions of dollars. Dude, you pay everybody, just pay people. You can apparently work at McDonald's in Anaheim for $16 an hour. These people at the park are making 15, from what I hear. I don't know if that's true.
Well, surely.
So I said it.
there's different things going on here. Like one is, Disney just should do what's right.
Yeah.
Right. But then also the other is, should we not be looking at the legislative people, the city council of Anaheim, and saying, what kind of laws are you passing? What kind of sloppy legislation are you writing? And why is it, why are you giving these companies, like, we never seem to hold our legislators who write the laws accountable for the companies who get away with stuff. And that's also a problem. Like, point the finger at the people you elected.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and there have been numerous cases and numerous reports coming out of Anaheim about how the city council is sort of just in the pocket of Disney. You know, Disney will donate to their reelection funds, or they'll do this or that. And so there is something there. But, you know, I guess at some point you can only shine a light on your legislators so hard before people, I don't know, don't pay attention, or, you know, I don't know. The other part is the information is out there on everybody. It's how hard do you want to look, and then how hard do you want to believe that about someone you voted for? I don't know. I agree with you. I think the people who write these dumb things should be held as accountable, if not more accountable, than the people who are benefiting from the law.
Right.
I agree.
Also, it's kind of how the system works. Like, we have legislatures, they typically do write terrible law, and then it has to go to a judge to interpret it, to decide what the ultimate thing is. And it sounds like that's what's happening here.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, I'll keep up to date on this breaking news story about tax law.
Keep me posted.
I really will.
Well, Jason, you know, I know you've jocked it up before at the parks.
Oh, big jock, baby. Big jock.
Huge jock.
Yeah.
Well, Run Disney is back with their in-person races.
Wow, no more virtual racing.
Well, virtual is still an option, but now we're bringing in-person back. Registration for fall events started up this month. Run Disney will make its debut, its in-person debut, with the return in November of the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, following up that a couple months later in January. On the Run Disney calendar is the biggest event of the Run Disney calendar every year, the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, which will take place January 5th through 9th. General registration for the event opened up just this week, with some races still available. So if you're listening to this now and you've got the urge to run, go to RunDisney.com. You can check it out. There's still slots available. The Disney Princess Half Marathon Weekend will also return in February of 2022. Registration for that opens up later on in August. And in a surprising move, Disney has ended Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend. That's right. All of you Ewoks are going to have to take a walk, or you won't be walking or running. I just did that right on the fly.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good, Jer. I loved it.
Star Wars Weekend is gone. Instead, it is being replaced with a new April offering, the Run Disney Springtime Surprise, which will feature...
What?
I knew that that was going to elicit a chuckle.
God bless. God bless Disney and their naming schemes, I swear.
Well, what the idea here is, so, you know, we've got these themed weekends, Run Wine and Dine, it's every year, Princess is every year. This is Disney's opportunity to have a race every spring that changes its theme.
Okay.
So we're going to do a different one every year. It's a springtime surprise.
Got it.
So we don't know what, so we know that there's going to be a springtime surprise race. Yep. We don't yet know what the surprise is.
Oh, how exciting.
So it's very exciting. And maybe it'll be Star Wars for the first year to make the Ewoks happy.
Yub nub.
While many are rejoicing at the ability to run in person again through the parks, not all the changes are being celebrated. I have reported previously on Disney's new Club Run Disney. Do you remember me telling you about this?
I do, where you remind me, you pay in advance for the opportunity to prepay for the race or something, right?
This is a members-only paid Run Disney Club that allows certain benefits, such as beneficial tiered Run Disney pricing options, membership listed on your bib. So you can brag and tell everybody that you are club. You know, when you are in the corrals, you want to be like,
I love a bib brag.
You're a good bib brag. That's hard to say.
Yeah. Don't you get a jacket too? Can't you buy like a jacket?
I think you get a jacket with the membership.
Oh, well.
You get a magnet. They always give you a magnet. Oh, yeah, that's a given.
We're going to be out of magnetic materials by the time Disney's done with these magnets. The Earth is going to be sucked dry of any magnetic material.
Correct. That's what's going to happen. You get guaranteed registration for some events along with the ability to buy exclusive merchandise. But with the advent of Club Run Disney, benefits previously enjoyed by runners and annual pass holders have been removed. Annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members are no longer eligible for advance registration to Run Disney events.
Wow.
A benefit now reserved only for paying Club Run Disney members.
Wow.
Also, Club Run Disney membership is now currently closed. So if you got in, congratulations. But if you're they're not offering any new memberships at the moment. If you're new and you were hoping to jump to the front of the line, you are not welcome in Club Run Disney. Currently, you should have been here a couple years ago. Also, for the half marathon, proof of time cutoff has been pushed up to 2 hours or less. So previously, runners who submitted a race time estimate of 2 hours and 30 minutes or less had to prove that by providing their results from a previous race. Now that time has been pushed up to 2 hours. So if you're going to come in slower than 2 hours, you don't have to provide a race time. So Run Disney is back. Club Run Disney is, you know, coming in strong. And yeah. Disney Vacation Club and Annual Pass can go, crap in their hat, I suppose.
I don't know. I will say, Taryn is in the chat, and she said, members only jacket. And I thought that was a very funny, clever joke, Taryn.
So, oh,
good job.
Yes. Yeah. That was good. Thank you. It is a members only jacket.
Well, you know what, Jeremy? Speaking of things that have been happening, that haven't been happening, and now that they are, Disneyland has been operating without formal parades since reopening of the parks just a few months ago. But there are now signs that the park is preparing to welcome back parades in a big way. In the ramp up to September and the coming what?
They're going to welcome them back in a big way.
Is that not...
like you don't welcome back a parade quietly?
No, you don't. Absolutely not.
It just made me laugh.
All right, sorry. In the ramp up to September and the coming Halloween parades, Disneyland is breaking in its parade routes with some new, albeit smaller, offerings. Disneyland and Disney California Adventure have started offering three mini parades known as Cavalcades. I don't know if you knew that or not. And include a snow and icicle covered Frozen float with Anna and Elsa at Disneyland. And a Toy Story procession at DCA with Woody, Jessie, and Sarge driving an army jeep filled with oversized toys. Disneyland also has a Mickey and Friends Cavalcade with a rotating cast of characters including Chip and Dale, Peter Pan, Wendy and Captain Hook, and Disney princesses traveling on Main Street USA vehicles or walking behind them. The Frightfully Fun Parade will be part of DCA's Oogie Boogie Bash, running on select nights starting September 9th. So it sounds like they're taking parts of Oogie Boogie Bash and making a cavalcade out of them. In years past, the nighttime parade has featured the Headless Horseman from Sleepy Hollow, along with Nightmare Before Christmas, Haunted Mansion, Dr. Facilier, and Disney Villain Parade Floats. There is a picture out there. I guess there was like a presser, like pre-show or like release or whatever. So press can come in and take pictures. And there's a couple of the Nightmare Before Christmas floats, and they're the vampires from Nightmare Before Christmas, where they have those sort of like bigger, those like wider bodies, and it looks like they just like spin. They look really cool. I think that looks neat. Okay. The cavalcades are part of the continuing adjustments Disney has had to face due to COVID. Disneyland and DCA have experimented with clever ways of having Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars characters pose for traditional meet-and-greet photos without coming into direct contact with visitors. The cavalcades expand on those meet-and-greet experiments as the parks slowly work towards a full-fledged parade during the limited attendance Oogie Boogie Bash special event, like the Disneyland Marching Band and live atmosphere music like Five and Dime and the Pearly Band have already returned as well. So your live entertainment choices have grown a bit at the Disneyland Resort. The next step, apparently, will be to bring back the Magic Happens Parade that only ran for a few weeks before the COVID shutdown of Disneyland way back in March 2020. After that, expect to see the eventual return of the Fantasmic and World of Color nighttime spectaculars, and you know, the Disney Junior Dance Party and all that kind of fun stuff, and that'll eventually all be coming back as well. But they're working on it. They're World experimenting.
World of Color's not back?
Not according to this article. But I mean, I don't think anything where you're like smashed in. I mean, Fantasmic isn't back. World of Color shouldn't be back.
But we have fireworks. I thought it was the same on both coasts.
Not that I know of. You guys do things differently out there.
Maybe it's because the park attendance is capped so much at Disneyland still.
Maybe. Yeah. That could be too. We also have like a lot of high wind stuff happening in fire. It's fire. We're on fire.
You guys are on fire.
Yeah. So maybe that has something to do with it too. But I mean, you're probably right. It's more attendance stuff.
Well, they should use World of Color then. Maybe some of that water will splash out without the fire.
That's right. The mists from World of Color.
Right. That's the answer to it all. I think the cavalcades, look, they're not particularly fascinating for me. I do love a parade. The cavalcades don't really quite satisfy that. You know, that doesn't scratch my parade itch. But I think because, you know, it's great for little kids because they come here, they want to see Mickey Mouse. And this is a great way to, like, you know, get them out there and show them off to everybody because they're not doing, like, the meet and greets.
Yeah.
And there's no character breakfast or anything like that. So, you know what? Cavalcade it up.
That's right. Why not? And I think it's good, too, to get everybody back in the habit, back into the, you know, rehearsal of doing the show and stuff like that, too. I think it's a good transition. Usually I like to dump on Disney ideas, but I'm fine with it. I think it's good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Wow.
That's it, Jer.
Another one in the books.
Another one in the books. I will have this posted for you guys tomorrow. Got a lot of editing to do. Mainly just edit Jeremy out. I'm going to pitch shift Jeremy's voice. So it sounds like I'm talking to James Earl Jones or something.
This year's a podcast.
big news, everybody. We got the Mai Tai glasses in the other day, and they look really nice. I'm waiting for the recipe cards to be printed up, and once those happen, I'll be shipping those out. So it'll be right on time here. They probably should be hitting the mail in like 2 weeks. So that'll be fun. And thank you to everybody who ordered some glasses. There's still a couple available for sale on our Etsy page, etsy.com/shop/coveyears. Buy some shirts, too, while you're at it, because, you know, clothe your trunk, your naked trunk of a body. Anyway, thank you very much, Jeremy. SpectraRadio.us.
Yeah, head on over to it.
Hack it. Take it down. Remove that. Anyway. Thanks, Jer. Appreciate it. You did great, as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you later. All right. Love it.